Thank you. Lord, I thank you for this moment together today. I pray that you will be honored, you will be glorified. And I just thank you, God, that you're here to build each one of us up. This isn't an individual only moment, but this is a corporate moment for everyone. Whosoever will, let them come today. Lord, let that be our prayer. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. I love Mo when you're down here with that camera. Can we give Mo a big God bless you and all the sound guys? All the sound and the video and everything going on. And Ryan, I wonder if you knew that that day when you answered that altar call, that you would ever have a son that same age doing what he's doing right now. Actually, two boys. The other one's probably up. Yeah, he's waving at me. I'm up here, Bobby. Don't forget me. I don't forget any of you. You're all amazing. I want to just continue on with this thought that I started couple weeks ago. I actually gained it while being in one of our small groups, the one that Art and Renee Nicometto lead on Monday nights at 6:30 to 7:30. And I couldn't name all the groups now that are happening. They're all amazing. You could go on the City Church's Facebook page or the website and find how to connect with that. And if you're not good, you know, at connecting on a Zoom meeting, just learn it. Quit saying you can't. And start saying, I will. Because the longer you say, I can't, the longer you'll stay in the world and in the realm of limitation. But when you say, okay, I will and I can, it'll open you up to something really great and brand new. And this phrase, why not now, struck me because the book they're reading is called Acres of Diamonds by Jensen Franklin, which is probably one of the greatest books that I have read in a long time. And when I'd read it ahead of time and listened to it, and then when we got to this chapter, right, why not now, it just struck my heart to think that so many times in our lives that we wait and we put off, you know, what needs to be done now, and we just think, well, I'll do that at another time. You know, when coronavirus is all over, then I'll consider going to church. And we understand the limitation and where our culture is at right now, and we pray for you and honor you and pray blessings on you. If you're home and you're just nervous about coming out, we understand. At some point, because I don't know where this is all going to lead, nobody thought in February we'd still be looking at Labor Day and still being in the position that we're in. At some point, we're going to all have to stand up, walk out that door, and face whatever it is that we've got to deal with in our lives. And for some of you, talking about that, I want to talk about some things that we have to deal with today in our lives and how we can work through that. And I want to encourage you today about not only how you talk, but what you talk about. What your conversation is really regularly about. I'm around a myriad of people on a regular basis, and almost verbatim, when you meet certain people, you know what the conversation is going to be like. You know where they're going to head with it. You know what the topic is going to be. And sometimes it's very good. Other times, you got to brace yourself. Because you know it's kind of contrary to what you really want to hear. And I read this information about this linguist by the name of Robin Queen, who is a professor at the University of Michigan. She teaches a class on language and discrimination. She says, people often think there's one right way to speak, what linguists call the standard. And everybody else is just doing it wrong. Do you hear that? That's so amazing when I hear that. That many people, they connect with this one way of speaking and talking and articulating. And if you don't agree with me, then you're just wrong. And that's so wrong. When people disagree in the culture that we're living in now, they're ready for battle. They want to take you to the mat. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't have an opinion, but I am cautioning each one of us concerning what shapes that opinion. Who or what shapes your conversation and what it's really all about. Proverbs 21:2 says, every man's waste is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the heart. Proverbs 12:15 says, the way of fools seems right to them, but the wise listen to advice or listen to another side of it. Just because your world has shaped one way does not mean your way is the only way. Amen, Pastor. And culture continually tells us that perception is reality, and it's not. Just because you think something is reality does not make it reality. Hear this now, because this is so important. But perception can be a person's reality because it has influence on how we look at reality through our perception. And perception acts like that lens of how we view everything. Our perception influences what we focus on, how we process, what we remember, how we interpret, understand, decide about, and act. They determine how we will act on reality. And in doing so, our tendency is to assume how we perceive reality is an accurate representation of what reality is really all about. And it's not. The problem is that the lens through which we perceive is warped by first even our genetic predisposition. Just think about that as I go on here. It's warped by our past experience, prior knowledge, our emotions, our preconceived notions, self-interest, and cognitive dissertations. You know, I was talking to one of the funeral directors here a couple weeks ago, and I said, you know, I just want you to know I'm sorry, I'm praying for you, because I know that there's been some issues with an individual in our area. And when that happens to somebody in whatever profession it is, automatically everybody begins to think that everyone in that profession is bad. I said, let a pastor or a priest do something wrong, and every pastor and priest are bad. Let a doctor do something wrong, and let everyone think all doctors are bad, because of our perception, and it distorts our reality. And God wants us to bring us to a place where we're not always looking through lenses of distortion, but we're looking through lenses of the Word of the living God and allowing it to shape what the true reality is in our lives. Because the only true reality that can come into our lives is based on what the Word of God says. His Word endures forever. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. What was, what is, and what is to come is in this Word and nothing else. Come on, if you're going to clap in the house today, why don't you give God a good praise? And I just want to ask each and every one of you, has your reality been distorted? Has your conversation been one that pleases or displeases God? Has it been seasoned with a perception of something that is not life-building, nor is it life-giving? Because our words connect us to one another. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, Paul says, to encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing. Romans 12:10 says, love one another with brotherly affection. And look at what it says. I love this. Outdo one another in showing honor. Not tearing other people down. Not pushing your agenda because it's been distorted from some what you perceive as reality. Amen, Pastor. And if you've been distorted, you can make it right today. There's seven words that change everything. The first service, they had a little hard time with this. But here's the seven words. I was wrong. Will you forgive me? I think we all just thought, I did this in the first service. I made everybody practice it. Are you ready? Say it with me. Say, I was wrong. Will you forgive me? Oh, you're much better than they were. I was wrong. Will you forgive me? Because words have power and their meaning forms the perceptions. It shapes our beliefs. It drives our behavior and it creates the world that we live in. And if you're living in a world where you can't say, I was wrong, will you forgive me? Your world is small, it's dark, and let me tell you something, it's collapsing ever so slowly around you every day. But when you can say, I was wrong, I made a mistake, will you forgive me? I've learned in my home, I joke about this with my wife all the time. But I say all the time, I was wrong. I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? And you know what? 95% of the time, it was me. I shared this in the first service. I walked into coffee. I was going to get coffee this week. I needed coffee. Had a rough day. I just was irritated. Does anybody ever get irritated? It was about, 2:30, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Bing, 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 bing. And I'm just, okay, let's get coffee. That coffee solves everything. Amen. You applause me better than that than when I'm preaching. I don't know. Anyways, coffee, it was late in the day, and I go down and I go to the guy that has the coffee truck. He opened a new place on Harvester Avenue. I really like it. And I went down there, went to park, not a parking spot, I have to park, like 12 miles away, and I walk. And I get to the door, and I forget that godforsaken mask. And I open up the door. I'm thinking I'll do one of these. And he says, you got to leave. Yeah, that's the way I felt, too. Oh, no. But I didn't communicate it exactly in that way. And I left. A little bit later, I get a text from the owner. He listened, I'm sorry. And he was right. And you know what? I was wrong. And I went in there yesterday, and the first thing I walked in, I said, please forgive me. I was wrong. I was wrong. I don't like the I'm the pastor, but I gotta tell everybody something here today. I am a rule breaker. I'm not good with rules. That's the truth. But you know what I'm getting better at the older that I live? I'm sorry. I was wrong. Will you forgive me? And when you can say that, it'll set you free. It'll expand your world. It'll expand your life. Because words have power. Listen to what Jesus says in Matthew 12:33. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for a tree is known by its fruit. The tree is the heart. The fruit is from the mouth. He goes on, brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And a good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth good things. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, brings forth evil things. But I say to you, listen, every idle word men may speak, they will give an account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words, you will be justified, and by your words, you will be condemned. If you don't have that circled in your Bible, or you don't have one, you need to get one, circle it. You need to never forget that. By your words, you will be justified, and by your words, you will be condemned. Because words shape who we are. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speak. Matthew 15:10 says, and he called the people to him and said to them, hear and understand, it is not what goes into a mouth that defiles a person, but it's what comes out of the mouth that this defiles the person. Then the disciples came and said to him, "Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying?" Well, of course they were. There's probably some today. You're offended right already at me because of some of the things that you're saying. They did me wrong. I'm not going to forgive them or ask anybody for forgiveness. And you're hurting yourself. Verse 13, he answered, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be rooted up. Let them alone. They are blind guides. And if the blind lead the blind, both will fall into a pit." But Peter said to him, "Explain the parable to us." And he said, "Are you also still without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth passes the stomach and is expelled? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart. And this is what defiles a person. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile anyone." And if I see another sign on the side of 490 or Route 90 that says, "Wash your hands," I'm going to make a big white poster of this and slap it right over it. Because the same people that are screaming, "Wash your hands," are the same people that are speaking evil out of their mouth, and they're defiling one another by their words. Boy, wash your hands, but let whatever wants to come out of your mouth comes. That is not right, and it should not be so. Psalm 141:3, "Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the doors of my lips." Psalm 39:1, "I will guard my ways lest I sin with my tongue. I'll restrain my mouth with a muzzle while the wicked are before me." You got to put something over that thing called your mouth and watch what comes out of it, because it will shape and it will determine your future, the future of your family, the future and the destiny of those who are around you that you love. And until you do that, it's going to hurt you and everybody around you. God wants us to clean that up, because words hurt us and they hurt others. Proverbs 26, 18 and 19. "Like a madman who throws firebrands, arrows, and death is the man who deceives his neighbor and says, 'Oh, I was just joking. Oh, I didn't really mean that. I was just having fun with you.' Really? Through sarcasm, jabs, negative speech. I was just fooling around." Watch it. Be careful, because it creates a habit. It creates a lifestyle. Words last. Don't be the person who, here it is again, who always has to be right. Don't be that person. 1 Peter 3:10, if you want to enjoy life, listen to this. Listen to this. If you want to enjoy life, if I only had more money, I could enjoy life. No. That's not what he's going to say. Listen, look at this. "If you want to enjoy life and see many happy days, keep your tongue from speaking evil and your lips from telling lies." He said you'll enjoy life. You'll have happy days. I feel like busting out singing that song. "Oh, happy days." I knew I'd get somebody to help me. So what can I do to change today? Why not right now? Why not now? Say, "Well, I've always been this way." So what? Why not right now? What can I do? What can I engage in that's better? Listen to this. I'm going to close in just a moment. Make your speech count. Harness the power of your words for good. Ephesians 4:29, "Don't let any corrupt talk," hello, "none, come out of your mouths, but only such as good for building up, as it fits the occasion, that may give grace to those that hear." No unwholesome word. No negative speech. That's not only to somebody else. That's about you. Some of you are hard on you. Some of you talk down about it. "Yeah, I could never do that. I'll never have this. I'll never go there. I'll never be happy. And you just go on and on with it. And you keep on sowing the same seeds in the garden of your life. And you're expecting something else to grow up. And it's not going to. Start sowing seeds of life and peace. If God be for me, who can be against me? Oh, I thank God that 1,000 may fall at my right and 10,000 at my left. It shall not come nigh unto my dwelling place. Lord, I thank you that even though the enemy comes in one way, he's got to flee from me in seven different ways. The angel of the Lord encamps around about them that fear him. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly in him. The favor of the Lord is on me. He was with me in the beginning. He is with me now. He'll be with me in the end. He will never leave me nor forsake me. He's Alpha. He's Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He is the first, the last. He is the light, and he is the life of all men. And that God is living inside of me. Come on today. If you believe that, give him a shout and clap your hands for him. Make your speech count. Make it count. And stop negativity. You know when you do it. Words have power, Colossians 3:8. But now you must put away all anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. Again, that's talking about yourself. Number three, stop gossiping and spreading negativity about other people. Quit speaking that way. Proverbs 18:8. The words of a whisperer are like delicious morsels. They go down into the inner parts of the body, but we hurt ourselves. And if somebody is talking like that, stop saying, you know, when they come to you and say, oh, you want to hear about so-and-so? No, I don't. No, I don't. Instead of trying to see through people, we need to start seeing people through, helping them and lifting them up. And building them up. Yeah, they made a mistake. Yeah, they were just foolish. Yeah, they just did wrong. But I'm going to love that person anyways. I'm going to stand with that person. And I'm going to tell you something. I've had many of people that walk into my life and they're weeping and they're broken and they've made a terrible mistake. And they look at me and they say, I could never go back to church. And you know what I do? I tell them, I want you to come to church and I want you to come sit right next to me. And I've done that over and over in my life. Come on and sit right next to me. Because if it wasn't for the grace of God, there go I and there go every one of you. And we need to stand for one another. We don't need to speak negativity about one another. We need to build one another up and believe God that there is a better future. There is a better end to their life than maybe what they had in the beginning. Give thanks, number four, when it's tough. This is a life changer. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, give thanks in all, not for all, in all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for your life. I don't thank him for everything. I didn't thank him when Patty called me up and said, I've got breast cancer. I didn't say, oh God, thank you for giving my wife and our family cancer. But you know what I did? I took her hand and we began to thank the God who called us and made us and spoke our lives into existence. He built us. He created us. He can fix us. He's God before we had it. He's God when we have it. And he'll be God when we're through with it. He is God and we worship him. And something incredible changes in our lives when we give thanks in the midst of despair and pain and hurt. And then number five, you got to limit your exposure to negative people. Listen to me. Not everybody will like this. I didn't write this verse. Paul spoke this to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:1-5. He said, understand this, that in the last days, and guess where we're at? You got to be blind if you don't think we're moving. It doesn't matter. We are moving in the last days. In the last days. There will become times of difficulty, you think? People will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness, but denied its power. This, he caps it off, avoid such people. Pastor, they're my friends. You don't understand. I've known them all my life. Somebody's got to make a change. Somebody's got to move. You got to either tell them, hey, I'm not living this way anymore. Or you got to say, hasta la vista, baby. El Wiedersehen, das Fidania, sayonara, goodbye. I got to move on. Are you listening to me today? Or are you still stuck in the fact that he said, avoid such people? It's for the benefit of your life. It's not fun. It's not what we hope for or planned. But it's the route you have to go if you're going to go the distance. Now, I'm a little older than I was when I first read that. And I took it to heart. And I had these friends. Man, they were great friends. But the conversation and what we would engage in, I just make a decision. They weren't changing. And after I got saved, neither was I. I knew it was time for me to make a decision. I had to slip out the back, Jack. I had to make a new plan, Stan. You don't need to be coy, Roy. Just set yourself free. Get on the bus, Gus. You don't need to discuss much. Can't remember the next part of it. You know what I'm getting at right there. Make the move, and then last, keep your tongue clean. 1 Peter 3:10, whoever would love life and, there it is again, see good days. Keep your tongue from evil. Keep your lips from deceitful speech. Close your eyes. Bow your head with me. Let the Spirit of the living God speak into your heart this morning. Why not right now? Why not allow that change to happen? Some of you are watching. You're disconnected today. God wants to connect his life with your life today. Maybe you've never given your life to Christ. You need to do that today. You need to ask him to come into your heart. It's not hard. It's not rocket science. With the mouth, confession is made to salvation. Just say it right where you're at. Maybe you're here today. Say, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my failures and my faults. Come into my heart. I believe God raised you from the dead and that you came into the world to save people such as myself. In the name of Jesus. Maybe you're watching today or you're here today. You fit in one of those categories that I just spoke of. He wants to move you past that. You have to make the move today. God, give my brothers and my sisters the strength, the power, and the grace to move in the direction that you have called them to today. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Ryan.
There I was, empty-handed, crying from the pit of my despair. There you were in the shadows, holding out your hand. You met me there. Where would I be without you? Where would I be, Jesus? You are the voice in the desert, calling me out in the dead of night, fighting my battles for me. You were my rescue story, lifting me up from the ashes. You carried my soul from death to life, bringing me from glory to glory. You were my rescue story. You were my rescue story. writing the pages before I had a name, before I needed grace. Singing songs of redemption, 'cause every time I ran away, you were louder than my shame. Oh, where would I be without you? Where would I be, Jesus? You were the voice in the desert, calling me out in the dead of night, fighting my battles for me. You were my rescue story, lifting me up from the ashes, carrying my soul from death to life, bringing me from glory to glory. You were my rescue story. Oh, oh, oh. You were my rescue story. You were my rescue story. You were my rescue story. Ooh. Never gave up on me. You never gave up on me. You are my testimony. Oh, he never gave up on me. He never gave up on me. He is my testimony. Oh, he never gave up on me. Never gave up on me. He is my testimony. Oh, you are the voice in the desert, calling me out in the dead of night, fighting my battles for me, lifting me up from the ashes, so from death to life, bring me from glory to glory. You are my rescue story.
Come on, if that's your testimony, lift your hand all over this place. Father, we thank you this morning for your prophetic word that has been sown into our hearts. We sense it now. Father, we pray that as it has been planted, God, that you would germinate it in our hearts, in our souls, in our minds, that we'd never be the same. And if you agree with that, would you say amen this morning? Amen. Give the Lord a hand, would you? We want to say thank you so much for being with us this morning. We love you so much. God bless you. And we'll see you real soon in a group or Thursday night. Have a great day.